Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you ready to go?
Ready to go.
All right. See if I am here. As ready as I'm going to be today. Here we go.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news that's related to boxing. We'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. And if you want to call and ask questions, 323-870-3857. Habib, it's New Year's Eve, man. We're on the cusp of a brand new year. Are you excited?
2024 is nearly upon us. And yes, I am excited. And we are braced for another gigantic year in boxing, if all goes to plan.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, because we're getting Fury, Usyk.
Yeah.
I still think we're getting Wilder Joshua. I know you don't like that one. I think we're getting Benavidez Canelo.
Wilder,
right?
Joshua. Did you not see what Joseph Parker did to that guy the other day?
I believe in redemption stories. Okay, so then we got Bivol versus Beterbiev right down the pike, right? And Frank Warren saying we got some more surprises. Or we may even get Ngannou versus Joshua. So this is going to get interesting.
Ngannou versus Joshua. They're talking about it. That's a real possibility, right?
What do you think of Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia?
I think it's a whitewash, but listen, man,
whitewash,
I like it.
But it's kind of intriguing in its own way, though.
Yeah, yeah. Kelly Kay, you're 100% right. Thank God for Saudi. Kelly Kay is now saying that rumors are the Top Rank might be sold. I wonder to the Saudis.
It's already been debunked.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what happens when you're late to the party, you know? It is. All right, let's talk about the only action going on this week. I believe it was Tuesday or Wednesday. It was one of those. Nael Inoue versus Marlon Topalis. Listen, man, Inoue dominated Topalis en route to a 10th round knockout. Inoue now becomes a two-division undisputed champion. For whatever reason, I thought he was three-division, but he's two. He's a multiple champion.
Oh, two-division undisputed.
Yeah. And this is the junior featherweight is where he's at now. Was it 122?
122.
122,
correct.
Right. 122 pounds. And this guy has looked incredible doing it. I mean, he's made it look easy. These are not like schlep fighters he's fighting. These are really good fighters. They are top-tier champion fighters, man. And he's walking through them. And if you didn't, again, man, my watershed moment with him was the Emmanuel Rodriguez fight.
Yeah, me too.
When I saw that fight, I was like, okay, we got something here. You know, I said, I think he's for real. Because I knew Manny Rodriguez was a really good fighter, man. And he just demolished that guy.
And when we look back at that Emmanuel Rodriguez fight, I think both of us, that I don't want to speak to you, we looked at that as this is the one style that he really hasn't shown us
that he
could dominate, and he did. So this is
right.
The guy that's faced the gauntlet in terms
right.
of any type of style that you could really put in front of him, right? And he's shined with flying colors. And when you look at this Topalis fight, this was not an easy task on paper. And even in the fight, when you look at sometimes fights like this and you add up your scorecard and even before the knockout and you have Inoue way ahead.
Yeah.
But Topalis is still having moments in these rounds where, you know, he's kind of awkward. He comes in and he throws that feint. He gets low. And then he throws that looping left hand over the top. And it's coming from an awkward angle. Sometimes you can't always time it because a lot of times when a guy will get down, you're kind of anticipating, is he going to pop back up and throw a punch? Or what's he going to do when he's down there? You're not really always expecting that loop and shot coming from the guy when he's down low like that. And he throws that punch when you're not expecting it, if you're his opponent, right? And Inoue kind of adapted to it. You know, Topalas had that high guard, top guitar to kind of get through there, but Inoue found a way to open it up because Inoue is great at changing levels. He's great at really going to the body, like shooting that right hand to the body real quick and then coming up top with it. So he knows how to open you up. So Topalas, like I said, had his moments, but they were far and few between, and they weren't going to be enough to stop Inoue from doing what he wanted to do in this fight. So the Inoue train keeps on a rolling here.
And won just about every round. I mean, I think one of the judges gave him two rounds. One of the judges gave him one round.
Yeah, I mean, it was a washout. I gave the Palace the seventh, and that was it.
Yeah, he's not.
That was basically a comparative round. So I could have had it a shutout. You know.
And everybody forgets about, you know, they say, well, what is he going to do when he faces adversity? Go look back at the Nonito Donaire first fight. That was the toughest fight of his career to this point. You know, and he knocked the guy out, won the fight.
Well, and again, if you want to kind of look at that injury that he suffered, and we're not taking shots there, but there were other fighters who had similar injuries that could not continue, and they retired in their corner once they broke their orbital bone. But this guy
didn't. Name a fighter that's done that. Name a fighter that's actually quit because of his eye swelled up a little bit.
We don't like to use the Q word here on Ringside Report.
I'm just asking questions because I don't know the answer.
Most recently, Sonny Edwards.
Who was the dude? You know, the big tall dude. I think they call him the Juggernaut. Who did that dude fight? Remember, you know what I'm talking about? Joyce. Yeah, Joe Joyce.
You remember him? Really overboard with this.
Like,
there was retinal bleeding. The eye was moving around. The socket.
There was retinal bleeding. Like you're an optometrist.
You have to really talk to some
high quality
level.
I'm just asking questions because I don't know. I'm trying to learn something, man. Like I'm trying to genuinely learn. Like I don't know who it was. What was the guy's name that
you didn't? You
he
didn't
was fighting the
on,
big guy and.
Listen, you
what happened?
Go at Billy Joe Saunders when he had a similar situation against Canelo. You didn't do it against Sonny Edwards. You just have something against this guy, Daniel Dubois.
Say nothing. Oh, Dubois, that's him. That's him. Yeah, that's the guy. I heard he's doing much better now, though. It's heavyweight now.
My New Year's resolution is I'm not using the Q word. I never did, but I'm not going to resort to using the Q word here on this show.
Quill? What is the Q word?
I can't say it.
I don't know what you're talking about. What is it? Does anybody know what the Q word is?
If I say I'm not going to use the word, I can't vocalize it.
I don't know that that's accurate because I don't know what you're not trying to vocalize.
Looking at you, I don't know. Well, I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah, VA Money Group says that Inoue's hype. He's a puncher. You know, if he fights a puncher at 126, well, he's at 122. Number one, but.
Well,
number two, Nonito at 40 is adversity. Did you watch that fight? You know, I mean, nobody expected that fight. Nobody. Deluxe Recording says he needs to move to 135. Guys, he's 122. He's coming up.
I think he's being facetious, but.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he needs to move to 154.
I think he has to fight. I think he needs to beat Usyk, man, before it becomes pound for pound.
Joe Joyce's Ness from the Boxing Voices twin. They do look alike. When they turn certain angles, it does, like, you have to, like, do a double take.
He looks like Ness. Does look like Ness.
What does Deluxe Recording say, Bean?
I can't even say it, man. I'm out. I can't even get it out of my mouth.
Anyway, just dominated that fight. And, you know, Stephen Fulton was the other guy that I thought that was a good fight. You know, like, I mean, we were really excited for that matchup because finally we're going to see him against a guy we know who's been through the ringer, and he's a good champion, and he's been through some fights, and he just demolished him. It wasn't even close, man.
126 would be interesting. I think it'd be interesting. There's some decent guys up there that he could fight. you know?
Yeah, I think so too. But I mean, does he? I guess he moves up now. I mean, what does he do? You know, what does he do here?
He'll probably make two defenses because, you know, there's one or two guys maybe he could take a look at. But I think 126 will probably be he's talking about fighting. I think Luis Neri. You know,
that's a good fight.
A good one.
That's a solid fight.
I think he was also talking about fighting Castamayor. So there's a few guys there. I think the guy that we like, I know he lost, but Rais Aleem, we like him.
Yeah, that's a good fight. I've always wanted to see that fight. You know, up at featherweight, you got Lee Wood. You know, you got some others. I mean, they're good fighters. I mean, they're all good fighters. That's the thing. Michael Conlan, I don't know how, you know, marketable he is right now. But, yeah, man, they're all like and I think Michael Conlan was tired anyway. He's still listed on BoxRec.
Yeah, he's gonna end up retiring, I believe. He was kind of hinting at retiring. I'm not sure if it was made official, but
yeah,
he was hinting at it.
Oh, Woods, yeah. Woods now at 130. You're right.
Yeah, Woods at 130. Lopez, right? Lopez at Bernardo Lopez at 126, right? He beat Conlan as well, and he had that tough fight.
Yeah.
As well in his last fight against Joette Gonzalez, which I actually had that fight a draw, right? So he's had some tough fights, Gonzalez at featherweight. So that would be an interesting fight, him and Inoue. I think Inoue can become a champion at 126. I think it could present some difficulties. Well, he may have some difficulties up there because the guys are bigger, but I don't know, man. I think this guy hits hard enough where maybe he'll still be a threat at 126. It'll be interesting. But I don't think he can go to 130. 130.
I mean, you got to think. He came up from what, 10? What was he at?
I think he was at
10. I thought he was at 108, I thought.
I want to say he came from 108, if I'm not mistaken.
He started
very light.
Yeah.
Started very light.
You know, and B, maybe you can speak to this. Is this a more of a technique thing, or is it more of a power thing? Does he just have freakish power, or does he have just really good technique when he throws those shots?
I want to lean on the I think there's a little bit of both, but I also want to lean on the technique a little bit because he does hit you with shots that you're not prepared for. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
He has that element of surprise to his shots, and he's just so accurate with his shots. And a lot of that, I believe, comes down to technique. Because Wilder has the power, right? But sometimes the technique is lacking, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, where Golovkin, he was thought of to be a big puncher as well. Maybe not a guy that Inoue can be at times.
Yeah.
But a lot of his power came from technique too, because the way he was able to change the trajectory of those punches,
yeah,
and change levels and vary up the way he would throw those shots, it was hard to brace yourself for those shots, you know, and,
yeah,
you know, anticipate all those punches coming at you from those different, you know, angles and stuff. So I would have to say that I would lean more on the side of technique. He's a picture perfect accurate type puncher. You know, when he lands flush.
He's a good fighter, man. He does a lot of good things in there, man. Just, you can tell, like, he's well schooled.
I would say that.
You know, and there is, like I said, there's some freakish power there.
I agree.
Team Batman says through the torque and the power they get those shots in is amazing. Yeah. He's a special fighter. I believe that. Yeah, I believe he is. I think they got to watch him, though. Like I said, they don't take him up too far.
Yeah.
You know, they got to make sure he feels comfortable in the weight and that his power settles into that weight, or his, you know, speed settles into their weight.
You don't want to do what Nonito Donaire did.
Yeah.
When he was going up too high a weight. When he went up to 126, and you saw what happened there, man, that just wasn't his weight class.
Right.
Right? He had some problems there, so.
Yeah, I agree. All right, but that was it. That was it for the weekend or the week, basically. Now let's go over the upcoming fights here. There's one tonight in Tokyo. Kaz Ioka versus Jasper Perez, 12 rounds for Ioka's WBA junior bantamweight title. That fight, I'm trying to think, might have already taken place. I don't know.
Because the time zone.
Yeah, the time is off. I think
probably happened this morning, and we didn't even know.
7:30, you know.
Something like that. Yeah.
I wonder if he was even televised, you know, because sometimes,
I couldn't find it anywhere, so I don't think it was even televised.
Yeah, in Japan, like when they do Japan always has that year end. They always have the year end thing where they got to do something on the new year, which I like. It's kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's it. Next big next fight's coming up January 6th on DAZN. Virgil Ortiz Jr. versus Frederick Lawson, 12 rounds, junior middleweights. O'Hara Davis versus Ismael Barrasso, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA interim junior welterweight title. Well, it's good to see that DAZN's kicking it off in grand fashion there, you know, that highly charged card right there that absolutely nobody can wait to see.
They always backload their schedule. And these last couple years I've noticed – they don't come out of the blocks very strong.
They don't end the blocks very strong either. they don't have middle blocks. They don't have,
I guess it's subjective. I liked the Katie Taylor Cameron fight. I liked I like the Sonny Edwards Bam Rodriguez fight. I like the Day of Reckoning show.
The Day of Reckoning show was good.
Yeah, it was a good call.
That was good.
It's not like they set the world on fire the second half, but maybe
I guess you're just getting like this kind of fight, this kind of caliber, and then when they give you something, you're like, yeah, this is great.
Because the beginning was so poor, in my opinion, and then the second half was just good. It wasn't spectacular. Maybe I'm giving it more. I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah,
I'm a degenerate anyways. You know me, so I watch anything.
I will say that Day of Reckoning pay-per-view, from top to bottom, the best pay-per-view of the year.
And
best pay-per-view of the year, from top to bottom, best pay-per-view of the year.
The good thing, too, is now that they're working kind of with Eddie Hearn and Frank Warren are working together,
mm-hmm.
he will have the options of buying some of those shows on both platforms.
Yeah.
And guess what I've learned after buying the Day of Reckoning on DAZN? I'm probably, if given a choice, going to stop buying pay-per-views on ESPN Plus exclusively if I have that opportunity, just like I did with Showtime.
Yep.
I said to myself, I did end up buying it on DAZN, that the Ryan Garcia Tank Davis fight. And I kind of regretted that a little bit because I just don't like the quality of that stream. It's just not high quality, bro.
Well, it's not even that. Like, for example, like I said, man, if you don't have DAZN and you want to go watch the fight, you want to go pay-per-view, fine, I'll put $40 down and go watch the pay-per-view. But you can't. You have to get us a DAZN subscription for at least 1 month, which I think is nonsense.
I'll tell you why they did that. And I'm not justifying it by any means.
Because they're greedy.
That's part of it, obviously. But remember before when you had the DAZN membership, you would be able to buy the pay-per-view for $60, but if you didn't have the DAZN membership, you'd have to buy it for $80, right? So that Ryan Garcia pay-per-view on Showtime was $84, but if you bought it on DAZN with the membership, you paid $60. So I guess what they're saying is instead of jacking up the price, we'll just make you pay a month of subscription. And again, I'm not defending them, but even with that, you add the $9 on there, and it's still not what a regular pay-per-view price would be somewhere else. In other words,
right?
If it's a standalone, so.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think? Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about something. So we're talking about pay-per-views and everything. So PBC goes to where? Amazon or what was it? What were they going
okay,
to?
Okay, so I heard some rumors, and Ness kind of put this out, and I actually believe him, and I believe his source, and this is just my opinion. So there is another deal in the works, and I've suspected this, and I think we both talked about this, that more than likely, I don't think that Amazon's going to be the only platform that PBC is working with next year. So there's another platform in the works that's going to be announced. at the beginning of next year that they're going to be working with. And Ness's source said that it's going to be somewhere along the lines of an NBC, ABC type network. So what popped into my head was Peacock, because Peacock is essentially NBC. They're owned by NBC. They do sports. They actually do boxing with Boxer. They pay the rights fees for Boxer shows that are shown on Sky Sports in the UK. So they just kind of like simulcast it on Peacock, right? So I believe that PBC will have another broadcaster, and I'm suspecting that it's going to be Peacock. Similar to when, you know, they had Showtime and Fox. Similar to when they had Showtime and Fox together, and there's been times when they've had, like, you know, the multiple networks before. But I think that they're going to be splitting the shows, right? I think probably that the big pay-per-views, obviously, I think are going to be shown through Amazon. And I think some of the smaller shows will probably be on Peacock, right? And everyone's already assuming, oh, well, they're going to be showing a ton of No, again, they knew Showtime was going to cease to exist in terms of boxing this year. So it was kind of like a going out of business deal. So they just,
right.
HBO did that when they were closing up shop. I don't anticipate, and this is just my opinion, and maybe you can excuse me of being overly optimistic here. I don't think they're going to be putting on as many pay-per-views as they did this year going into next year. I just don't see that same formula. I just don't think that it's going to be that way. That's just my opinion. So, again, I quote, this is my opinion, so I don't want to be, oh, babe, you're putting shit up. No, this is my opinion. I do believe there's going to be another broadcaster. It is rumors there's going to be another broadcaster. I think it's going to be Peacock.
That's interesting, man. I tell you, you remember, I mean, just back in the day, remember the USA Tuesday night fights? You remember the fights back on Saturdays? We used to have them like Saturdays. Every couple of Saturdays we'd have them a month on Wide World of Sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And boxing was popular. It's kind of how they build household names, I think.
Yeah.
I think going to Peacock or something along the, like a NBC or a CBS or some type of mainstream like that would really help them. I think it would really help them, would really help the sport. But I think what's going to help the sport more is the Saudis, Saudi Arabia. I mean, you can't – they're making the big fights. And I think there's only – listen, the amount of money they're throwing down to get these fights, to have them over there – I mean,
but
it's beautiful.
As I said before, fights like Devin Haney versus Tank Davis or Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia, Canelo versus David Benavidez, Crawford versus Spence in a rematch, per se.
Yeah.
You know, certain fights, I believe, have to go to Vegas, right, because of the time zone difference and because of the demographics and stuff like Ryan Garcia, why would you not have him fight in Vegas and get that fan base that, you know, that Cali brings and that Vegas brings, that Arizona, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I do think, like Better Be versus Bivol, beautiful Saudi fight, right? Two European guys, beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I just still think that certain fights are going to be Vegas fight. I just think that's just going to be the case, in my opinion.
Maybe.
You know?
It depends. I mean, listen. I mean, just like you and I mean, as long as the fight's made, signed, and going to happen, I don't care where it takes place.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, would I like to take place in Vegas? At the end of the day, I don't care.
I don't care where it takes place.
I
actually prefer fights to be in Saudi because the cards will start earlier and I get to see the main events earlier.
I'm not sitting there at 12 in the, you know, midnight watching this fight, you know.
But once again, you're on the East Coast.
Yep.
You want to watch Canelo Alvarez fight David Benavidez, or you want to see Tank Davis fight Ryan Garcia. You want to see Ryan Garcia fight Devin Haney.
Yeah.
If it's in Saudi, that card starting at 11 a.m. in the morning.
Right. I love the morning fights, man.
But most casual fans aren't thinking I'm going to, you know, watch boxing at 11 in the morning. You know, they want it prime time. So.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Those UFC cards are all like those are brutal, man. They start at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
and they go to like one. So by the time you're at the main event, it's like, my gosh, it's like you're just like, come on, you know. And they move at a pretty good clip over there. You know, it's not like there's a lot of down, you know, a whole lot of downtime. And then there's some between the fights, but nothing crazy, you know.
That's true.
So, all right. Not many news and rumors here, but let's go over the year in review here, Beeb. And we're going to start with this one. Pound for pound this year, who is the best fighter?
I'm going to have to go with Terrence Crawford.
Terrence Crawford, pound for pound. My pound for pound, I got Naoya Inoue. I just think that you think about this, and you think about what pound for pound is. You know, this guy started at 108 and went to, you know what I mean, went through the weight classes. He's now at 122, two-time undisputed champion. Two-time, two-division, undisputed, all four belts. Got them all. I mean, the guy's fought the best of the best. I think it's, to me, it's Naoya Inoue right now. Terrence Crawford has fought once this year. You know, I think, what did he fight, once or twice last year?
I can't remember how many times he fought the year before, but it may have been twice.
That's why, you know, I'd like to – but Crawford doesn't look like he ever has any ring rust on him. I think he stays in the gym. He stays pretty sharp constantly. But, you know, that being said, I still like Naoya Inoue. I think that if anybody came down to his division, lost the weight, came down to 122, they're losing that fight.
Well, let me kind of get into the question. So you're saying who's the fighter of the year or who's the best pound-for-pound fighter?
Pound-for-pound fighter of the year. Pound-for-pound fighter right now. Who's the best pound-for-pound fighter?
Crawford, right, I put Crawford as the best pound-for-pound fighter on a list. I mean, I'm not a pound-for-pound guy, but I do think Inoue is the fighter of the year. So Inoue has the best year, the most impressive year.
You think so? But, okay, well, let's talk about that because my pound-for-pound is Inoue, your pound for pound is Crawford. And now let's talk about the fighter of the year.
Yeah.
Your fighter of the year is who?
Inoue.
Inoue. Inoue.
Yeah.
My fighter of the year. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, before you go, I apologize for interrupting you.
No.
The way D-Style explained this to me, and I like his logic, Crawford was pound for pound, right?
Mm-hmm.
And pound for pound is kind of like a total body of work. So once you attain pound for pound, someone has to pass you. It's not just what they did in that particular year. You know what it's like when you give somebody the MVP in the NBA, right? That's a regular season award, right?
Yes.
And then in the playoffs, you have a separate MVP. So Barkley was the MVP one year. And then the argument was, oh, well, what did he do in the playoffs? It's not a playoff award. It's a regular season award. So Crawford has been a pound-for-pound guy his whole career, right? And until someone kind of surpasses him, he doesn't lose that position, in other words. So you can make an argument that you do think Inoue has passed him. But then the other argument is maybe he passed him. He had a better year this particular year.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, has his career been better than Crawford? Right? And then people kind of look at the eye test, too. When you look at Crawford and you look at Inoue, who is a better fighter overall in terms of what they can do, what they can't do, overall skill set? So, again, this everyone has their own specific – specific criteria for this.
Right, and I think that's the fun part about it, you know.
Yeah, and you can't go wrong either way.
Right.
You can't go wrong either way. So I'm not going to argue. What do you mean you got a new way? No, there's no argument. There's really no argument.
Right, because it's all subjective. You know, like I have my list of criteria, you have your list of criteria, which may not last mine. I do like these styles. I do like that. But the problem is, in that case, then if Canelo loses – or if Crawford loses, then how does he lose that pound-for-pound ranking if you're looking at an entire body of work?
Well, you have to look at, you know, who you're losing to, how you lost. So in other words, if you lose but you still have so much more accomplishments in your resume compared to the guy who just had a breakout year and is still up in that list. So when Canelo lost to Bivol, right?
Yeah.
I don't agree with this, but I guess the fallback was, well, Canelo is still a better pound-for-pound fighter because he's more dominant in his division than Bivol is in his, because he's undisputed at 168. Bivol's not undisputed at 175, and there's still a question on whether or not he can even be undisputed because not everyone believes he beats better beat.
But isn't that pound-for-pound, though? Like, if I'm the champion at 168 and you think I'm pound-for-pound the best, pound-for-pound to me means that I can go up in weight and I can beat that guy. I can go down in weight and beat that guy.
Yeah.
That guy can come up in weight, come to my weight division.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. But the logic was Canelo's still undisputed at 168.
Right.
Still,
no, I get it. I totally
He's still the best guy at 168, but
sure.
We don't know if this guy's even the best guy at 175 because he hasn't proven it. And that's not no knock on him that he hasn't proven it. He just needs the opportunity to do so.
I think 175 is too heavy for him. If we're talking about Canelo, and I know we just kind of went down a rabbit hole here,
I
think 175 is too big for him.
I just can't
I
see
really
him
do.
Beating better bees. I can't see him beating a lot of guys up there at 175.
Yeah, and he fought Kovalev at 175. That was his biggest win, I believe. Wasn't it that was his biggest win at 175?
It was basically his only win at 175.
Yeah, so, and he beat Kovalev, and Kovalev, to me, wasn't the fighter he was years prior to when he fought Canelo. And he was still giving Canelo the work. I thought he was winning that fight before he got knocked out.
A lot of people do. A lot of people thought that Canelo was winning the fight before he got knocked out, yeah.
All right. So your fighter of the year is who?
Inoue. My fighter of the year is Inoue.
Your fighter of the year is Inoue. My fighter of the year is Terrence Crawford. He fought once.
Oh, so you flipped it. This is interesting.
So my fighter of the year is Terrence Crawford. Why in the world would he be my fighter of the year? All right, he won one fight. He's only fought once. That fight was the fight that we had been waiting for years. We got two 50-50 guys going at it, right? Two 50-50. Nobody knew who was going to win that fight. Everybody Sunday knew who was going to win the fight, but Saturday at noon, nobody knew who was going to win that fight. And it was split 50-50. It really was. That was the biggest welterweight fight since Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard. That was the most anticipated fight. We had talked about this fight for years.
Yeah.
And Terrence Crawford went out there and completely dismantled this guy. This is an Olympic fighter. He just went in there and just dismantled. This was a guy who had never lost. This is a guy who everybody thought was probably, if he was going to win, if you were siding with, if you favored Errol Spence to win, you were favoring his size, his boxing. There was, you know, he was bigger than Crawford. You know, everybody said he was bigger, this and that, stronger. Crawford's not going to be able to take the strength, the pressure. Crawford annihilated that guy, and he made it look easy. I mean, it was just unbelievable to watch. Sometimes you watch fights and they're one-sided and you're just like, I'm not going to watch it again. That fight is something you could, because of the way he dominated him, because of the traps that he set, because of everything, again, leading into that fight. Again, Sunday, everybody was a Crawford guy. Everybody, nobody. Errol Spence was washed. I don't even know why they made the fight. That's what they were saying. You know what I mean? He's washed. That fight was a mismatch. I told you that years ago. Blah, 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 blah. It was a 50-50 fight, and that was the fight of the year. The guy who won got to be the fighter of the year. He has to be.
So I'm going to be Petty Roosevelt here now.
Petty Roosevelt?
Because I know this isn't a category on the list, and that's fine. That is, to me, the performance of the year, but based on that one performance, I don't have him as fighter of the year. And again, there's no rule that says if you only fight once a year that you can't win fighter of the year.
Right.
Sugar Ray Leonard fought once when he beat Marvin Hagler, and he was fighter of the year that year.
I think the judges should have been fighter of the year, actually, in that fight because, you know, they kind of fought for him, didn't they?
That's right.
Because he lost the fight, I'm just saying.
No, he didn't. But
you're from Boston.
From Boston.
I mean, Ray won that fight, man. Sorry.
Ray did not win that fight.
Ray won that fight. That was a good, great performance from Ray.
He also tied Hearns in the second fight, too. That was a draw.
I thought
you had Hearns winning
that
fight. Yeah, you had Hearns winning
that
fight.
Yeah, I had Hearns winning that fight. Yeah. Ray Leonard will tell you he lost that fight. he's not saying he won that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't the thing is, man, look, I agree with you. That was the performance of the year, no question. If we had a category, I think we'd both agree on it anyway. It's still performance of the year. But, yeah, for me, fighter of the year, I think I'm gonna stick with Terrence Crawford there. Inoue only had two fights this year. Most everybody had two fights this year. I don't know if anybody – I think somebody said that Joseph Parker had, like, four fights this year.
Yeah, he had four.
You know, I wouldn't put him as fighter of the year, you know. But I just think that event was so big. That event, to me, was so big that I think you have to put the winner as fighter of the year.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I understand it. I understand the argument. Believe me, I do.
And then, okay, so let's see here. KO of the year.
Okay. This was tough. This was real tough. I'm going to go with Jose Venezuela's victory over Chris Colbert, that knockout.
That knockout was vicious.
I liked that one. There's so many of them. This one was tough, but I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah, that was vicious, man. That was vicious. I'm going to stay on that same track as I was, and the knockout of the year to me goes with the fight of the year, with the event of the year, if you will, Crawford over Spence. I thought that knockout was pretty amazing, to be honest with you. The fact that I, you know, like when you're watching that fight, you really, you know, you don't believe what you're seeing because it was so, I mean, the control that he did and just the performance, it was brilliant. It was really brilliant.
It was impressive.
The other event/fight of the year for me, Gervonta Davis, Tank Davis versus Ryan Garcia. It was such a big event, you know, it was such a big event leading into it too. And again, it was one of those things that we were pretty 50-50 on it, you know, and the way it ended, the way Tank just handled everything, it was great. I liked it.
Yeah.
Let's call, you know, and as far as knockout of the year, and I remember this too, that second Joe Joyce, Xylee Zhang fight, that was a vicious knockout. And I tell you what, man, Joe Joyce, that was another one where, like, I think he can get, you know, you look at Xylee Zhang, you look at this guy, right? And you watch him fight. And you don't understand, why is he's so beatable. You know, you look at him, and he's got so many flaws in his game. But there's something to the style that he brings. That, I mean, Joe Joyce, with that jab, that piston jab, he should have been all over this guy. But he wasn't. And he lost both fights, like, emphatically, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, for knockout of the year, if you wanted a knockout of the year aside from the performance and everything like that, I like Xylee Zhang over Joe Joyce in that second fight. I thought that was a good one, man.
Okay.
Let's see here. Fight of the year, we pretty much went over that. You gave us the fight of the year, right?
Well,
what was your fight of the year?
There's a performance of the year beating someone that had a spectacular performance. But fight of the year is basically what was the most...
You think like the most action-packed fight.
Best fight that you enjoyed or could be a number of things. And I'm going to be... a lot of people are saying Devin Haney versus Vasily Lomachenko was a fight of the year type fight.
I thought it was good, yeah.
I'm going to go to this fight except the one at the radar. And I actually picked an upset here and I almost got this one right. Eduardo Hernandez versus Oshaki Foster. This was on the Zone, and this was in Mexico, I believe. And this was a fight where Oshaki Foster had to come back and take victory out of the jaws of defeat in the final round here.
Yeah.
And scored a knockout in this fight where all the judges had him behind. But it was a competitive, like, it wasn't like he was getting blown out, but he was losing the fight, but it was clear that he was behind, right? He wasn't really getting the shit kicked out of him the whole fight, but he was behind.
Yeah.
And in the 12th round, Shockey Foster stopped Hernandez, man. And it was I thought it was just a beautiful fight because this fight has like kind of ebbs and flows to it. I had Hernandez up about by I think two or three rounds at the time of about three rounds at the time of the stoppage, two or three rounds at the time of stoppage. You can argue either way. And then Oshaki just pulled the rabbit out of the hat. And this guy's not a huge puncher by no means, but he got the knockout. He knew he was behind. He knew he was in Mexico, and he knew he needed something dramatic to win this fight, and he pulled the rabbit out of the hat in the 12th round. So it was beautiful.
What's going on with Teofimo Lopez? I mean, again, this is a guy who's fought once, in June, I believe. Fought once this year. There was a lot of inactivity this year, which is kind of surprising because we had all the big fights this year.
Yeah, there's no COVID. There was no COVID to get in the way this time.
Right.
So there's really no excuse for fighters to be inactive here. But I just think fighters were just kind of holding out for money in a lot of situations.
So,
and I guess, you know, it is what it is. Everyone wants to get paid. But at the same time, you know, you got to hone your skills and you got to sharpen the tools and, you know, you got to be in the proper shape, and you have to be ready for these big fights when they come. So if you're going to take a big fight off of long activity, we saw fighters do that and how it went for them. You know, Spence and we saw Wilder. We saw a lot of guys coming off of long layoffs, and it didn't pan out well for them.
I agree.
Right?
I agree. Let's talk about our upset of the year. And mine just recently took place. And this guy spoiled everything. He spoiled it. And this is why you don't, you know, sometimes it's not great to let fights age. Joseph Parker, unanimous decision over Deontay Wilder. I mean, Beeb. Nobody saw this coming. You know, nobody saw this coming. I didn't think, I mean, listen, I think we all thought Parker was going to outbox him forever, however long it lasted. But turns out it lasted the full 12. You know, I mean, he's completely dominated Deontay Wilder. Had him hurt. And what was it, the eighth or ninth round? I think it was the eighth round or whatever. Had him hurt.
Yeah.
Buzzed him and just completely, you know, just destroyed, just demolished him, man. He really did. And as much as you, you know, again, it went to a decision, was unanimous. To me, that was the upset of the year. Ruins Joshua Wilder. Ruins Wilder versus whoever, because, you know, you saw, I mean, it was pretty clear. And that guy's been out of the ring for quite a while. And you can blame ring rust or whatever. I know Frank Warren said that they said he was in the cryo chamber a lot before the fight or whatever, which, you know, indicates an injury, whatever. You know what I mean? Listen, I don't care what kind of injury you had. You weren't beating Joseph Parker that night. Wasn't going to happen. You weren't finding your right hand. His footwork was horrible that fight. I mean, every flaw that you could possibly think about Wilder was on display that night. And on a fight, he was supposed to win. That was, you know, again, that was a hand-picked fight. You know, I mean, that they put it on there to shine because Joseph Parker's a big name, but he's going to get hit, you know, and didn't work out that way. So to me, that was the biggest upset of the year.
I will have to echo that. I agree. That's the biggest upset of the year. Definitely was. He was an 8-1 underdog. Joseph Parker was.
Wow.
And,
it was a
phenomenal performance.
Yeah. Somebody had mentioned the Lomachenko and Devin Haney fight, and you know, as a robbery of the year. Now, I don't think it was a robbery. I think, you know, like I said, some people had Haney winning and some people had Loma winning. I had Loma winning by a few rounds. I thought he won the fight pretty clear.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't take it, listen, man, it just, you know, I don't know. But I don't think it was a robbery. I thought it was a good fight. That was another fight that, like, we were all looking forward to, again, happened. Philly Drew said the fighter of the year was that guy that dropped shields during sparring.
That's fucking, that is so funny.
Yeah. I can't believe it. You know, it's like she's over there belly aching about some guy in sparring, and then he releases that he loaded his gloves. Really? He loaded. Let me understand. So this dude hates you so much that he came back, loaded his gloves in sparring, you know, just took padding out of his gloves and just hit you. And listen, they look like normal gloves to me. Do they not? I mean, you saw Louis Resto's gloves.
You know what?
I'm just saying.
I'm going to change my pick for knockout of the year. I'm going to say that guy who knocked out Shields.
Too, he laid her out, too.
That guy.
I thought that was the best, boy. He laid her out.
That's my knockout of the year, man.
Tell me that wasn't a picture perfect left.
Beautiful, man.
The best part was the way she just sprawled out like.
You know what was hilarious, man? When you watch it back, the whole sequence, when she was, like, kind of walking up to him before the combination landed, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was talking shit to him, like, what you got, man? What you got? What you going to do, man? Fucking drops her, man.
What's she talking? She was talking to
him? There was an instance in the session where she actually she tripped him. She was pushing him. I don't know, man.
Yeah, and that's the sparring. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
Jesus. That's insane. Caller of the year. Steve, our caller of the year. This is a very coveted title. Would you agree?
Very coveted. It's a
very coveted. From Beep Industries.
It's the most prestigious title that we've ever offered on this channel.
Oh,
in our company.
I agree.
We hold this person in high regard in our company. We actually have a wall in the office, right, in the hallway leading up to the office. All the caller of the year is a picture down that hallway, right?
It's great. So. It's great. I mean, this is Beeb Industries. This goes straight to corporate.
Corporate.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So who is the caller of the year? Jerry from Baltimore. It is not you. Our caller of the year, Ringside Robert. Ringside Robert, talk to me.
Happy New Year, guys.
First of all, Robert, here's the problem.
He's just here, like, oh, my God.
Do we have to start out every week with this? Anyway.
Well, this isn't by design. I don't like doing this.
There is a rumor
that when we did the voting for this, there was an IP address from the San Francisco area in California that was recorded came up multiple times, right? So something is fishy here. I know they want to talk about January 6th being fishy.
Give me a break.
Maybe top that in terms of. This maybe tops that in terms of conspiracy.
He's
so you think that Robert kind of stacked
Trump
the deck?
Ringside reporter. That's not good.
So I don't know for sure what happened.
That's not good.
You know, the technical.
That is not good.
But for right now, he's more Donald Trump than Richard Nixon, I guess.
The technology department called me up, and they were like, Mr. Habib, what's going on with this IP address? Keeps coming up during this voting process. I don't know what's going on here. So I just wanted to put that out there. And shout out to Jerry because he is caller of the year. He's the worst caller of the year. So we'll give him that. We'll give him that award. Jerry is the worst caller of the year.
Let me tell you who gets honorable mention. And this was such a great series throughout the year.
I'll say it.
Big Texas.
No.
I mean, the amount of love he showed the Beeb was incredible. I mean, and the guy had a crush on Beeb. And rather than just entertain and say Beeb, said Beeb, instead of Beeb saying, "Oh, thank you, I appreciate it, I'm very flattered," just completely hit his face. You know, he would sing to you. He would give you all this wonderful music. And you just, you know, treated him like that. You know what? No wonder he doesn't call anymore.
You know, even on the last day of the year, you got to hit me with this. There's no grace period here. I mean, we're going into 2024, and you still got to hit me with this.
Sure. All right, Robert, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to go down this list and ask you.
Okay.
Who is your pound-for-pound fighter? Who's the best pound-for-pound fighter right now?
In my opinion, activity means something to me. And that has to go to Inouye.
Inouye, okay.
Yeah, that has because he fought.
I don't mind that.
He fought twice this year, and both of his people that he fought this year were top-notch fighters in his division, and especially Stephen Fulton. It was supposed to be a very competitive fight, and he dominated. So that's my pound-for-pound person of the year.
All right. What about, let's see here, the fighter of the year?
Fighter of the year, same deal. I have to
same
give
thing.
That
okay.
anyway. Okay?
All right.
Now performance of the year? Now, performance
okay,
of the year for me, that has to be Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, that was good.
He was totally good. Terrence Crawford, he only fought once, but he made a very lasting impression. He totally took somebody that was supposed to be a 50-50 fight and made him look like he did not belong in the ring. And this is a guy that actually fought in the Olympics.
Now you're just reading back the show transcript. Now you're just reading back the show transcript.
Yeah, so. There you go. Give me a break. Anyway, so.
All right. What about the knockout of the year? Who did you have for knockout of the year?
Eric, I totally agree with you. Zhang. I mean, he looked so hittable, but he totally annihilated Joe Joyce not once but twice.
Kelly Kadali Budyang says that nobody mentions Benavidez. He was involved in a good fight, but there was nothing really. He's waiting. To me, he's waiting for his big moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an honorable mention. I'm not going to discount what he did
for Fighter of the Year.
Stop.
Come on, not for Fighter of the Year.
No, not for Fighter of the Year. I don't know, but Eric, when you talk about a list, right? I'll go down the list of Fighter of the Year. Crawford and Inouye 1A, 1B.
Then you got
Haney. Now after Haney, who else could be fighting?
Who else? Right.
Maybe Teofimo, right?
He had one fight. He's another one that just had one fight this year.
So if you were to make a list of the top 10 fighters of like a list of who could be in that list, David Benavidez could be somewhere in that list. Not maybe one, two, or three.
No.
But he could be like maybe four or five on that list is what I'm saying. So that's why I'm saying honorable mention.
Yeah, I agree with that.
In my opinion, guys, activity means a lot. And if you can fight two or three times a year and look impressive each time you do it, that means something.
Yeah. You know what? But, especially this year, and you hate to complain, obviously, because it was a great year in boxing.
Yeah. Right.
You know, even with this, you only, the top fighter is only fighting twice.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be, you could see the fighter of the year typically, was a fight three times a year.
Right.
One, and that kind of thing. But,
Right.
And you said Xili Zhang was the KO of the year, fighter of the year, upset of the year. What was your upset of the year?
I hate to parrot everybody, but who expected Joseph Parker to do what he did against Deontay Wilder? And everybody thinks Wilder is going to be able to come back and be okay. Firmly believe
Wilder's
that
done.
I believe he's finished. I don't ever want to see him in the ring again. Period. I don't think it's worthwhile to put him in there against anybody at this point. He looks so bad. This just goes to show you, when you only fight one round in 2 years, this is the kind of performance you get when you've been out of the ring that long and you're that old.
So Robert.
Yeah.
Who do you think really deserves Calder of the Year? Like, let's not like subtract all of the
Robert deserves Calder of the Year. That's why he got it.
Who do you think deserves? Like, I know there's some speculation on why you got it, but let's take that out of the equation.
Why do you have to dump on it? Why do you have to dump on it? If there's some speculation as to why you got it.
This is the technology department.
This is
the
technology department.
Eric,
oh, sorry, what's the matter with you?
Eric, should I really answer that? Because
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not, Robert. You were the one that won it. You're the one that won it. There is no.
You don't want to answer the question, so that just prove that you may be guilty. You may be guilty because you don't want to
hey,
answer.
Hey, look, Joe, instead of being critical of the caller of the year selection, be thankful for the people that do call in. We do have good callers that call into this show.
Now you want a virtue signal. Now you want a virtue signal. Like you're higher than now. Okay.
Come on.
Let's get up on my soapbox. So be thankful. Peace on earth and goodwill. Like, we know who you are, Robbie. Mrs. Herrick tells me about some of the things you do over there. So let's not pretend like you're this nice person that's so more. You have this big, gigantic moral compass over there. I know what you do.
Give me a break, okay? Yeah.
All right. So I tell you what. The one person in the chat had mentioned Kadali had mentioned David Benavides. Here's where I would put David Benavides, and you can put him in that performance of the year category against Demetrius Andrade, because that I did not expect.
No.
I did not expect that. I mean, I expected, you know, listen, we thought Benavides would probably win the fight, but I have never seen Andrade handled like that. I mean, he was outclassed from the first round on, and Benavides looked incredible, probably one of the best performances I've seen in a while. Yeah, David Benavides.
And, you know,
that's definitely for me. It's an honorable mention because it's an honorable mention just because, again, the Crawford fight was so big. It was, I mean, 10 times bigger than this fight was. But the way he went out there and handled another world-class fighter, I mean, yeah, you can't really – that's a hard one to argue.
You know, I know we don't have any say-so on who gets what fight next. But there's going to be something wrong if David Benavides is not in the ring with Canelo. That is the person that should be fighting Canelo. Canelo shouldn't even be considering anybody else. Hands down, he deserves that fight.
He may deserve the fight, but will he get the fight?
That's the problem. I don't know if he'll get it, but he deserves it.
That's another rumor I'm hearing that they're targeting that fight for May. That looks like it's going to be next.
That's insane. I think Benavides is just too big and too strong. I just do.
Well, the reason why I think it's going to be for May, guys, is I think it's going to be a two-fight deal. Remember, he's got two more fights with PBC, and I think those are going to be the next two fights.
Yeah. Why not throw a rematch clause in there? You know what I'm saying?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're gonna have the first fight, the second fight.
What have you heard from Chakal, Beeb? Anything?
No.
He's usually like right in the Canelo camp and everything like that.
I'll start asking him what's going on, but hopefully we can get some clarity soon because May. So we're going on to January, right? So May's not too far off from January, right?
Right.
They're going to probably, I would suspect they're going to make an announcement probably by the end of January or the beginning of February on who he's going to fight next.
Yeah.
Because you have to have press conferences, you have to have training camps.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have all this stuff situated, right? So I'm anticipating an announcement not too far in the future on what's going to happen next. And I'm going to go out on a limb. I think Benavides is going to be on BB next in May. I really believe that.
I hope you're right.
I feel confident about that because Canelo is a very prideful person. And, again, that's a huge – that fight ticks all the boxes. It's a huge money fight. I think it'll do fantastic numbers. And it's – style-wise, it's a can't miss, right? It's a can't miss. That fight can't be boring.
No.
It can't be. I think it's impossible that fight is boring.
Yeah.
And you got to put that in a stadium type situation, like put it in the brand new stadium in Vegas, you know, because that seats like 65,000 seats. It's an indoor stadium. There's no weather involved. That would be a perfect setting.
We're going to Saudi with that fight. We're going to Saudi, son.
Oh, then not.
We're going to Saudi with
that fight.
That'll
be a Vegas fight.
We're going to put it where the money is. Money's in Saudi, son. Doesn't matter. I don't care if five people show up as long as
they're Robbie. And then Robbie's going to get up Robbie's going to get up at 9 o'clock to watch that pay-per-view in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely, I will.
While he's eating his Lucky Charms.
All right, Robert, we're going to get running, man. I'll put you on hold here.
Take a walk.
What did you say? Take a walk? 267. I think this is Philly. 267, you're live.
Philly, dude. What's up, Philly?
So which one of you two do I talk to about this fight, this Call of the Year bullshit? Because I think it's rigged as hell.
Billy, I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. There was a lot of votes for you, right? But because of this IP controversy, I don't know, man. You could have been.
I think he could have. I think he's got a legitimate gripe.
I think we need a recount, Billy. I think we need a recount. I'm just being honest here, man. Full disclosure.
It takes a year. Typically, it takes a year to recount, but you know.
Yeah, we need a recount.
Yeah, you probably need a recount. Yeah, but now I'll be honest. I did my pound for pound list on the Shoe Shine on Thursday, and people were very surprised of the people I put on it, and were very happy and everything. But I told people my fighter of the year was Terrence Crawford, and like if you look at it, how the way he was easily handling Errol Spence and exposing him, and became the first 2-time undisputed champion. That takes it right there. We can say Inoue was, but tell you the truth, nothing. The wins that Inoue got this year, both of them didn't measure up to Terrence Crawford's one win with Errol Spence. Now I had the Junto Nakatani Andrew Mahoney fight as the knockout of the year when he put him in the sleep looking up in the middle of the ring. But I look at it, the fight of the year I had recently happened, and the main reason why, like, because it was back and forth knockdowns, and then it ended with an upset with Benissimo Ramirez and Estrada. That was my fight of the year right there. And the main reason why, because of the knockdowns and the upset that happened. I think that takes the cake with the story involvement and everything. Like, you could give it to the Shockey Foster fight and everything, but I think the thing about it is that one takes the cake because of the back-to-back knockdowns and the upset and everything. If Ramirez won that fight, I wouldn't put that as the fight of the year, but that had all the drama to make it a fight of the year. Now, I thought the Lomachenko-Haney fight was borderline robbery because I thought Loma clearly won the fight. But if you want to get robbery of the year, I would give it to Heineman here versus Sergey Dovzhenko. I thought Dovzhenko clearly won that fight. And I can't see how they were able to give it to Heineman here. And I think it's just a guy he got a gift decision against. And I don't think he beats John Ryder. I think John Ryder really beats the balls off Heineman here.
We're going to make some money that weekend, Philly.
I'll tell you what. That's what Bieber has been saying, man.
I'm putting money on John Ryder, bro. We're going to make some money that weekend.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I might actually put some money on John Ryder, man, because you are sold on John Ryder beating him, man.
Yes.
I don't have a dog in the fight one way or the other, but you typically when you're this strong on it, your picks usually come through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he sees something I don't see.
I wouldn't be surprised if he knocks out Heineman here. I think we could get a stoppage victory either way. It's going to go because
it's not impossible, Philly. It's not impossible that happens. He could stop it.
Because both these guys are going to come forward, and if you see like the type of like the kind of fight Ryder had against Canelo last time, it's very promising. It gives you a promising bet to go bet some money on Ryder or possibly the knockout. possibly the late round knockout that you want to bet exactly to make a lot more money on it. But I think, like, I told people this right now, if Canelo Alvarez does not fight David Benavidez, it's a stain on his legacy because you did not clean out this division fully. Even though you are the undisputed champion and you beat three different titleists, you clearly did not clean out this division because you clearly did not beat the best of the best in this division. And I think until he beats the likes of David Benavidez, or even David Moel, you can't say that he clearly cleared this division out. Now, if he beats David Benavidez, we can give him that credit of clearing out this division, because I think right now he does beat David Benavidez. Right now, it's a closer fight than that I had it a year ago. But the more he waits for this fight, the more of a disadvantage and more of a bet that you can put David Benavidez as the favorite to win this fight because he's been through the wars. He's older now and everything. But after this, where does he go from here? No, like, I don't really want to see him fight a guy that's coming up from 147. I like to see the Bivol fight if he beats Benavidez, but I only would want to see that Bivol rematch if it's at 168, because I think Bivol deserves the rematch, but at 168 to fight for Canelo's belts.
There you go. All right, Philly Drew, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much. Have a great new year.
New year.
Quickly, we're going to get to 410, and then we're going to head out of here. Jerry, 410, salty about not getting caller of the year.
Jerry, you have a strong argument. I think there was some foul play.
I don't know that he really
here,
had a strong argument.
Jerry, there was some foul play.
I don't know that he did.
Yeah. A lot of politics behind the scenes.
Definitely a lot of politics.
That was politics for sure. I got fighter of the year, second close, Devin Haney and Benavidez neck and neck. Bud Crawford, I'm sorry, one fight. Doesn't get it for me. It was a great performance. If it was performance of the year, I'd maybe give it to Bud Crawford, but one fight just doesn't do it for me. Fight of the year, for me, I missed a lot of fights this year, but Darianchenko and Jaime Munguia, that was a great fight. I agree, the fight with Ryder, that's going to be a hell of a fight, because Ryder, he's a tough, tough dude. I'm looking forward to that one. I did also want to say that I think Wilder still beats Anthony Joshua. I think it's a bad style matchup for Anthony Joshua. If they should fight, I wouldn't bet the house on it because Wilder he could be shot. But Parker is like 8-10 inches shorter than Wilder, and he was brilliant at getting under those right hands, the relative few right hands that Wilder threw at him. And I'm no Wilder fan, believe me. I can't stand the guy, but I think Joshua gets clobbered with those same right hands. He doesn't get under shots that I see, and I don't like the matchup for him. So, yeah,
good point. That's a good point, Jerry. Well, you should be called the radio, man. This was a horrible decision. I think this was horrible what happened to you, man. I'm really feeling for you right now, though.
Well, you voted for Philly Drew.
No, I voted for both of them. That's like a
I don't know that we could vote for both of them. And I was kind of in charge of it, so I'm pretty sure you couldn't really vote for both of them.
I did really vote for Jerry. I just wanted to be – I didn't want to be disrespectful.
Just like little Philly Drew.
Yeah.
Well,
I really
heard him say he was in charge of it, so that tells you the story. I got
He has a lot of heat with you, Jerry. We know that. You call in every week. You call in every week and you school this guy. He doesn't like you.
Oh, listen to you. Listen to Beam now.
I think you get great calls. I think you get great calls every week.
King of Baltimore.
Sometimes you even have to put me in my place, and I have to fall back on my heels. But, I got to take my lumps. I got to take my lumps.
Yeah. I don't call every week.
Go ahead.
Sometimes I miss your show because, today I wouldn't even know you were on. on the day, because I usually look for it in the evening around 6, you know. I guess you didn't doing it earlier.
Here's the problem with that, Jerry. When Eric sends out the flyers, sometimes he blocks you because he doesn't want to deal with your wrath.
Flyers.
He doesn't want to deal with your wrath.
Like we're in 1985, he sent out the flyers.
Happy New Year. And I'll jump in.
Happy New
I'll
Year
jump
to
in
you
the
too,
chat.
Man.
I'll jump in the
All
chat
right,
and
man,
chew on them down there.
Jeez. Somebody mentioned the upset of the year. Cali K, actually, robbery of the year is clearly Francis Ngannou. I wish I could disagree with him, but I can't. I had Ngannou clearly winning that fight.
Yeah, you had it wide, too.
I had it wide.
Yeah.
And I like Tyson Fury. I mean, you know, you and I, you know, like I said, we're both Tyson Fury fans. And I expected this to be a complete walkover. When he was knocked down in, what, the second round, you know, like my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought he clearly won that fight.
Yeah.
And that's why that performance by Fury was so bad. Like I said, and that's what, you know, and I was always picking Fury over Usyk because I thought he was too big. I don't see any way, you know, like I said, I'm picking Usyk until Fury beats him. Taking Usyk.
Yeah.
I got to see.
I'm sticking with Fury.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with Fury.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, guys, it is New Year's Eve. I know a lot of you are going to go out and howl at the moon tonight and party and all that other good stuff. Make sure you guys are safe, okay? Make sure you guys get designated drivers and all that other stuff. Don't be like Beeb and do too much blow this year like he did last year.
Whoa!
You know, ran out of his house completely naked and stuff like that. Listen,
whoa,
you guys don't want to be like Beeb, okay?
Easy.
So you just, you know, I'm just – and this is a friendly reminder for you too, my friend. I mean, we all know what happened last year. It just
I got sponsors. I gotta have.
You know? I know. I just don't want to see you wind up in the same situation you did, you know, last January 1st. So, you know, just be a little bit more careful about it. Put your brother. You know what you do? Put your brother in charge this time. Let him take care of the festivities and everything like that. He'll watch over you.
Lois, I mean, she's been a loyal companion for years. I mean,
she's a blow-up doll, Beeb. She can't make decisions, okay?
Again, you got to defame her. Please.
Jerry just said Bengals in the basement, Ravens rule. I didn't know Baltimore still had a football team, do they? They still got a football team over there?
Hey, they
I didn't even know.
Bread.
I had no idea.
Bread.
They're pretty good, I guess, this year, too. Do you see them go out and handle San Francisco? They're like the best team in the NFL. Just went in and handed it to them, man.
What happened to your Bengals, man? But I can't talk.
Burrow. You know, Burrow got injured. I think we're deficient at a couple different positions, you know, and I think that offensive line really, the running back and the offensive line have really got to pick it up. And, you know, they've been doing better, but they're not class yet. You know what I mean? They got to get there. Yeah, Adam Hurley. Wise beyond his years. Look at this. Adam Hurley, knockout of the year. Xylee Zhang, Joe Joyce. Who had that? Who had that knockout of the year, B?
You did.
That was me, right?
You did.
That was me. And then Robbie copied off of me. And then, yeah, there we
Robbie
go.
Robbie read the transcript back to us. But
you read the transcript back. Oh, my goodness. All right, guys. Listen, thanks for coming out, man. Be safe tonight. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Beeb on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can also find me on Twitter at ringside73. I guess it's X now, right? I guess
yes.
Everybody calling it X now. Yeah.
I still call it Twitter. I don't give a shit.
I call it Twitter too. What's Elon Musk going to do? You know, what happened to him and Zuckerberg? He was supposed to fight Zuckerberg. You remember that?
He never went through it.
He completely backed out.
He backed out of it. You know, he's not ready for that.
Zuckerberg put up a cage in his backyard.
He's ready.
He was ready to go. And I heard he's pretty good. What is he? He's like he's like a blue belt or something crazy?
Yeah, I think a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. He's up there.
They say blue belts in jiu-jitsu can beat 99% of the population.
is that one below brown belt in jiu-jitsu?
No. So in jiu-jitsu, it's white belt is your beginner belt. Hardest belt to get, by the way. Blue belt comes after that. After blue is purple, then brown, then black.
Okay, so blue still
it's about a year. It's about a year and some change to get a blue belt. Typically.
Do you have a white belt?
I've got a white belt. Yeah, I don't even practice that much anymore. I don't practice much anymore. I want to get back into it. I want to try to get back into it this year.
Even a white belt kind of signifies you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah, if you get into, like I said, if you're mid-white belt, which is what I was, you could still, holds and everything. You know quite a bit. Yeah, white belts know quite a bit.
Can you be in tournaments? What's the criteria for being in a tournament? Do you have
just
to be
better.
At least, even if you're not a white belt, can you get into a tournament?
Yeah.
You have to have at least a white
belt. Well, you have to have a white belt. I mean, a white belt is just when you start, you get a white belt.
So if you have a white belt, you can go into tournaments.
Absolutely. As soon as you're in, you can go into tournaments and stuff like that. And a lot of people do that just because, and it's what they tell you. And it's what they tell you is true, man. When you're in there sparring, when you're in jiu-jitsu and you're sparring, that's probably the closest thing you're going to get to be in a real fight. If you haven't been in a real fight, that's probably the closest you'll get to being in a real fight without being in a real fight, of course. But yeah.
Do you find some of that stuff useful in a real fight?
Oh, it's all useful, yeah.
I would say it is, yeah.
It's all useful, yeah.
A lot of those,
for sure.
Because you could do some of those like chokes from the standing position.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can do the standing chokes. One of my favorites is like the collar choke. Where you grab a lapel or you grab the back of the coat, you grab a lapel and just bring him in. Antonio is like a white belt. They give him stripes where he is. But he's one that's picking up really fast, and I think he'll be a blue belt probably this year coming up.
And he's still training and everything.
Yeah.
He hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him.
And he's getting, you get so much stronger when you do it because it's always that push pull. And it's you're dealing with not necessarily weights. You're dealing with like dead weight sometimes, like dead weight is heavier than, they may weigh the same, but it's just awkward. It's that awkward motion where you have to put somebody in a position or you have to grab somebody or you have to, grapple your way into it. Just like wrestlers. If you ever, spar with a wrestler or anything, they're really strong. They're just really strong.
Yeah.
So.
Understood.
All right, guys, that'll do it. We are out. Have a great new year. And, hey, we'll see you next year. There you go.
See you next year, everybody. Be good.